Blessed to be with you, Kevin Miller in the morning, KIDO Talk Radio. Dave Pezzo joining us from the Pezzo Center, Pezzo Financial. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Kevin.
So the big news of the day, not that, it's Amazon Prime week. They say it's a day, but it's a week and this, that, and the other, and Amazon Prime this, Amazon Prime that, but James Bond is now a woman. James Bond is now a black woman. The new James Bond will be a black woman. Now, when we take a look at this, you grew up in the world of James Bond, as did I, and he's always been a white guy who's British. You take a look at the rebranding of this. How do you think that will play as far as rebranding? You know, many people say this is the new face of America, majority, minority, that sort of thing. But this is a heck of a chance that the producers of James Bond have taken. Your thoughts from the business perspective on this, sir?
Yeah, the business perspective. This is a hard one because I don't think that people throw money away. I do think it's a risk. And I also think that there's such a world and an isolated world. And I'm thinking about this from a business perspective. So let me finish this thought before you think I'm just jumping on it and calling Hollywood left. But I think you have this insular nature of really everywhere, right? If you're in Alabama, there's an insular nature on the right, and there's an insular nature on the left, certainly when you get into big cities. And I don't think that they think that flyover country thinks different than they do. So I do think it's potentially a big mistake, like I think potentially Nike's making a big mistake, where we are really, if you will, kowtowing to a certain audience and ignoring the rest of them, because I think people are going to be, James Bond is not a woman, period. And that's okay. Neither is Catwoman a man. I mean, or whatever female
but
hero.
But they have made Spider-Man a woman, and they've made, they're redoing everything.
And young people maybe are okay with that. And Kevin, they're the ones that buy the tickets. And so that's where I from a business perspective, I got to say, I just am going to have to wait and see. But James Bond was such a cool thing growing up. And then when they made the shifts to different actors and things, I thought they did it very well. And I think for them, by and large, they hit a home run every time with new actors in it. And I thought it was an ongoing series that was just.
But here's the other thing, because we live in the woke Me Too world, James Bond was a womanizer.
Yes, he was.
Now, will the new James Bond, Jane Bond, I don't know how she'll handle that. But again, in our time, I mean, James Bond was the cool dude hanging out. The young ladies, always the young ladies, the Bond girls.
Yeah.
And then you have people saying, well, no, we live in the woke world, and that's bad.
Yeah, well, it seems weird to me that the Bond girls loved being Bond girls, and they went on to other parts. So I think that the women who were on this show, and apparently, according to the woke people, were abused, went on to careers and didn't feel terribly abused to get an opportunity to have a big break like that. So
it is fascinating, though, when you think of these iconic institutions, how society is really changing everything.
Yeah.
Now, here's another story. You big fan of Disney?
Yeah, overall, over time, yeah, not all their decisions by any stretch, but certainly from a business perspective, yes.
Well, believe it or not, Disney, last week they had a big fight at one of the parks, but Disney is hurting. I believe the new Star Wars park is hurting as well. Disney seems to be hurting. There aren't as many lines. I mean, you talk about brilliance, and I know they have a lot of overhead at Disney, but here you have, you pay, what is it, $100, $200 to get in?
Yeah.
Long lines.
And then you got to get a pass to get somewhere better on the line, yeah.
Right. And then you get the pass, and you still have, instead of waiting 3 hours, you wait 30 minutes or 40 minutes or an hour. They've really had this thing for quite some time, and yet now they appear to be hurting in a vibrant economy. What do you make of that?
Well, I think that to a degree you can have, first of all, hurting is more of a relative term, and Disney is certainly, as a company, doing very well, launching their own, if you will, version of Netflix, some streaming stuff on their own that's been, at least by the market, has been the stock market, their stock has been incredibly well received. So, you know, Kevin, the stock itself is doing very well, saying that overall the direction of the company appears to be right on. They're much more media-based than they used to be. The theme parks are still doing well, just maybe not as long a lines, Kevin, and that's basically, I don't think that hurts them at all. Going to Disneyland became a joke. It became something that grandparents did for their grandkids, but they certainly did it only because for the grandkids, because let's face it, who wants to spend that kind of money and stand out in the sun and listen to whiny kids for 3 hours before you can even get on a ride? I mean, it just that just horrible. That just, doesn't that just sound horrible? Who wants to go there? And so if we can get the parks a little bit less people there, I think it's actually in the long term would be just fine for Disney.
Our great friend Dave Petzl with us now at KIDOTalkRadio.com, home of the KIDO Talk Radio app. We did a story that I was fascinated by, and it has to do with one of your favorite stocks, Netflix.
Yeah.
And you mentioned Netflix. Now Netflix has, you know, and again, we talk about podcasting business wars, and there's one where Netflix versus Blockbuster. Then I think there's they've done a new one, Netflix versus Time Warner. So now we have Friends. Are you familiar with the show Friends?
I am.
Well, but you're a hip guy. All right. The Office. Are you familiar with The Office?
I am familiar with The Office.
Okay. Now, you and I watched those when they first came out.
Yep.
And believe it or not, I believe like we'll not be embellishing here for once on KIDO Talk Radio. 50% of Netflix traffic allegedly is from The Office. And I think it's higher. So NBC Universal pulled it.
Yep.
They're going to have their own streaming service. The Friends got pulled by the new HBO Max for its own streaming service. Now, The Office has another year left. Friends ends at the end of this year. Now, Netflix has been very smart because they've been developing their own shows. They spent last year over $12 billion on content. But now you have Hulu. You have that free service Crackle. By the way, I tried it over the weekend. It's free. It's from Sony Paramount, but there's commercials in it. And the commercials get obnoxious after a while when you're watching these old movies.
Yeah.
Then you have Marvel. You have DC. Because Marvel is pulling all of its stuff. No more Avengers. No more Punisher. No more. Marvel will have its own under the Disney Plus thing.
Yep.
You've got ESPN Plus. Now you've got, again, NBC with their own. HBO Max with their own. Which it'll be interesting to see how Amazon Prime with their
and
own.
You turned me on to Showtime.
Right.
There's another one.
Right. Billions.
Billions.
Billions. So, Bobby Axelrod, what do you make of the future for Netflix?
Because they have the distribution and they continue to grow globally, I think they're okay. But I got to tell you, the stock has not taken much of a hit. And I'm surprised. I really thought with all of the new launches here, and you haven't even hit on the one that I think is going to be killer big, and that's Apple.
Yeah.
I think when they really get going, Apple always does it right, and they do it really well, and they're going to get some content, whether they buy it, and also we've got Prime as well. So you've got a lot of different sources out there that are going to nip at the heels. Hey, for $9, $10 or whatever, but here's what I think it does for Netflix. I think it caps how much they can raise their future subscription price. That's what I think really caps it. I don't think people drop it for these other services. I think they keep it because it's $10. Who cares about $10? If a cup of coffee is $5, why am I going to care for a whole lineup of entertainment per month for $10. So I think that's what it caps, Kevin. But again, this is just my pure speculation as to why the stock continues to do well and it's being hit by so much new competition. It can't be what it was going to be with all this competition. It just can't. There are, as you point out, so many different companies out there. And the key there that you're talking about is pulling content.
Indeed, our great friend Dave Petzl with us now. I'd be remiss and I'd be guilty of media malpractice if I didn't allow a little gloating from you.
A little what? Gloating?
Yeah.
That's nice of you. Really? 27,000 on the Dow, 3,000 in the S&P? Is that the gloating you're referring to?
Just going to sit here and listen.
Yeah. How about that? Now, seriously, is this the most hated market in all of history that has been that continues to hit records?
Kind of like cheering against Boise State, which I do quite a bit of.
Ouch, boy! You're really begging for some phone calls today, aren't you?
No matter what, I'm just sitting here being honest and authentic.
Yes. Absolutely, the market has been incredible this year, and I'm going to, and of course, since we like to talk about local, how about Micron? Since earnings, and this is the end of June when they announced earnings, and they're up nearly 40%, 10% last week alone. This is an incredible run for a company, and the stock market is up 20% year to date. This is just an amazing run. And again, it's so hated. We just sit around every day and talk about all the tariffs, all the trade wars, oh the this, oh the that. And it just continues to roll. An amazing thing. And it should be, because we don't want to lose sight. Everybody gets wound up. And if the Fed does this, if the Fed does that, it's all driven by lower interest rates. If that's the case, how come interest rates have been continued to fall on the long side? And then I heard about this on Friday, about the inverted yield curve. Oh, my gosh, I thought we were over that. It just, if it's not one thing, it's another, and people are all fussed about it. So there you go, Kevin. By the United States of America. Go long, America, and stay there.
On the other hand, and you've been very honest about this, and as long as our corporate giants will allow us to be honest here on the airwaves that they control, licensed by the Federal Communications Commission, Micron can have record profits, but that still doesn't stop what people tell me, and maybe they tell you about what's really going on inside there, where the local people are out. Other people are coming in that don't have the ties to the area.
Yep.
The CEO doesn't live here.
Company's moving.
Big $6 billion investment in Virginia. Got a big billion-dollar investment in Hong Kong or Taiwan or one of those places. And here, well, they're committed. If you're and look, everybody is always scared about their economic livelihood, but no one's covering this story. No one's covering the story at all about what's really happening there. And I guess, what are you going to do? You're going to talk to people. Got the guy that sued because he didn't get a promotion. That made the papers. But there seems to be an undercurrent here. So I'm going to be naive.
Yeah.
I'm never naive with you. I'm going to be naive and say, like Bill O'Reilly used to say, you know, why can't you, if you're doing well, take care of the people that allow you to do well? A case in point, he was talking about the difference between Mitt Romney's dad and Mitt Romney. Mitt Romney's dad ran American Motors Company. You remember the old AMC. And Bill O'Reilly made this point, like General Motors, AMC at the time, they wanted to give him more money. And he goes, no, I'm going to cap it because I don't need any more. And then you have his son, who's a venture capitalist. Well, more money, the better.
Right.
So is that being naive, saying, here you have this facility. You know, it's kind of like what happened to the coal mines, the rubber plants, the steel mills. All those people left the places that made them. Your thoughts?
Technology replaces jobs, and it also creates new jobs. And that's something that's in dynamic flux. What I don't like that's going on at Micron specifically is that they are moving the headquarters, obviously, down into Silicon Valley. And so that's going to change their, if you will, their muscle here, their local presence. I don't think they're going to move the fab, but they're not investing, as you point out, the billions of dollars here. They're doing it in Virginia. So this is going to be, is now, a leftist-leaning company that does not have roots in the heartland, if you will, Idaho. It has roots in Silicon Valley, and that's where they're going to be. And that's, we're just going to have to deal with that, because guess what? The board of directors hired a guy from Silicon Valley, and that's where, and he's calling the shots, and they're not saying you have to move here. So that's it. And when we report the stock, that's the stock. It's not its presence within within Boise and within Idaho. But it is a big company here, and I don't suspect they're going to leave here, Kevin. But it is disappointing. Yeah, I'm sad. I'm sad that the old guys are all gone, and there's no real local flavor to Micron anymore.
Which is odd, because we keep attracting people from Silicon Valley here. More on the future of that. Dave Pezzo's wound up. Kevin Miller, KIDO Talk Radio. Rolling right along with Dave Pezzo, the Pezzo Center, Pezzo Financial. Kevin Miller in the morning. So we were talking about, you know, you were just fired up there at the break, talking about the future of not only Micron, but the Treasure Valley and everything else. Summertime, people have checked out. What's really going on in the financial community? Iran now says that if the president lifts the sanctions, they'll go back to the negotiating table. That appears to be a victory for us. Does that impact our energy prices at all?
No, not really. I suppose, but that they can pump a little bit more oil. But Kevin, their ability to pump oil compared to the United States is nothing anymore. OPEC is nothing. It's a shell of an organization.
What does that mean, though, for Saudi Arabia? Because as you and I have discussed, the Saudis shrewdly have been trying to figure out when their oil money is gone, like, what are they going to do? Some say they're trying to be touristy. Some say they're trying to be something else. And back to Dave Petzos, Saudi Arabia, what's its future?
Yeah, Saudi Arabia has a better future because they have been working on that. But Kevin, it's not, certainly living in Saudi Arabia has its own challenges, to say the least, about the climate there. So it is something that's going to be difficult for them to transition. But they're working on it. We'll see what they can pull off. And if we do figure out desalinization, and I think we will sooner than later, then at a reasonable price, then I do think that Saudi Arabia will end up doing just fine. And they do have a lot. They've got billions of dollars that have been set aside in anticipation of declining energy, you know, prices, income.
Sure,
but it's not a good thing for them either. It really is not. But the diminishing of power from enemies such as Iran is a very good thing for them.
Let's talk about a good thing. Prime Day. It's like Prime Week. Now we've got other people, other parts of Walmart doing this. They're responding to Amazon. You have apparently Amazon has better deals on Apple's own products in Apple stores, the iPad, the iWatch. By the way, from what we hear, one of the tips that if you want something on Amazon, you put it in your cart, and apparently they will send you a notification when they have the best ever deal possible. That's a trick, allegedly. So never let it be said that old Kevin Miller doesn't know the tricks.
You do. You're a tricky guy. People don't know that about you.
I will gladly accept that description. Tricky Kevin Miller. So, Amazon Prime, this is a big event. And you think about it, this company created it.
Yep.
You're big on Amazon. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I do. I think they're the Death Star. I'm probably the last guy in Boise that's not a Prime member. But I do use it once in a while.
Wait a minute. You're not a Prime member.
I am not a Prime member.
You don't get the free deliveries. You don't get the...
I do get free delivery. I'll wait for it.
Wait a minute. The movie stuff alone is worth the membership.
I don't watch enough Netflix. I probably shouldn't be a member of Netflix. I mean,
right? You're too busy living the life. But anyway,
I try to, especially in the summer. But anyway, but the point is that I just don't think it's necessary to get there in 2 days. I can wait a week for things, and I do order things that are difficult to find. Right. A special battery or something like that. So Amazon for me is great for that, but I just don't want to do that. It's the Death Star. It's killing retail, and I'm not the guy that lives in the past.
Do you go to retail? Do you shop at retail?
I try not to, I do, I'm happy about it.
So do you go to the bookstore? Like, we have one in town now. You remember when we had Hastings?
I go to the bookstore?
We had Borders. We had Barnes & Noble.
Yep.
And now we just have Barnes & Noble.
I never found it to be a particularly cool hangout like other people do.
You don't hang out at the books? Okay.
No.
Social commentary time. Whether it's the bookstore or the coffee shop, what do you make of the people that come in? And some of them, they don't even have the courtesy to buy something. And look, if they can't afford it, I get it. But like, and maybe they come in for the free Wi-Fi. Okay, there's the politically correct disclaimers. But they come in and they set up shop.
Yep.
And they hold meetings.
Yep.
Okay, I get holding meetings, but like, you're running your laptop and then three laptops and all these things. And you see it at the Barnes & Nobles. You see it at Starbucks. Social commentary time, Dave Petzo. What do
buy
you make
of that?
Buy a
cup of coffee. They can buy a cup of coffee, and they do.
And stay all day then. Huh?
I don't think that's great either. But at the same time, what I think Starbucks has brought it on themselves, they're sitting there, you know, we're going to have needle dispensaries and bizarre stuff like that.
They threw out the cops last week, too.
Yeah, exactly. This is just off the charts. I heard you talking about that, as a matter of fact.
Yeah.
I caught that segment, and that's off the charts stupid. And, in this name of political correctness, we can't even have any common sense about it. It doesn't make sense. You know, it makes no sense to have the very people that protect our society kicked out of a building because somebody's uncomfortable. Well, why are they uncomfortable? Are they going to try to rob you and so they're uncomfortable? It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's absolutely bizarre. And that kind of thing, I just don't think plays out well. If you look at Seattle, and you know I go there a lot for my grandkids.
Well, that's what you say you go for your grandkids. I think you're taking orders from Microsoft, but that's my own thought.
Well, and there's plenty of good people there, but I got to tell you, it's really something. It's so overrun with homeless, with drugs.
Are you worried about that coming here?
It's as long as we continue as a community to support the rescue mission the way this community does. I do not, but without them, we will look exactly like that. That's how big a deal the rescue mission is.
Boise Rescue Mission, for those keeping score at home on KIDO Talk Radio, you know, but. What is it, because we're so small? You'll go to Seattle, and in a past life, I was fixated on Salt Lake City.
Yeah.
And you go there, they got the mean homeless. You go anywhere, it's the mean homeless, except here.
Yeah, it is. And I think that's a matter of, well, there's a couple things. It's not just because it's bigger, Kevin. It's because they don't deal with it. And the rescue mission, the Boise Rescue Mission, has a pathway forward for everybody. And in a community where that is the case, then you just don't have to have the tolerance for people that are going to pitch a tent in the sidewalk. Now, when people were, when I was there 5 years ago or so, or 4 years ago, whatever it was, and we step around a tent in the middle of the sidewalk in downtown Seattle, And it's like, what is this? Oh, they can pitch a tent anywhere. When you start allowing people to do that, they do. And then it becomes a really big problem. Now Seattle's having to backpedal, kick them out of parks, move them from place to place. Now they've got needles everywhere, trash everywhere, and they still aren't dealing with the problem, which is really a drug problem. And that, until we name it what it is, it's a mental illness, it's drug addiction, alcoholism, all those things. And until we talk about that reality, because you and I, you know, we're not just, you know, praise to God, but I'm one step away from homelessness. You are not. That is not true, but people who are mentally ill are.
Dave Pezzo joining us, the Pezzo Center, Pezzo Financial. Catch him this week, Money Matters 8 to 10. Dave, thank you very much.
Thanks, Kevin.
You're listening to Kevin Miller, KIDO Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome, and thank you for joining us. And we'd love to have you join us, of course, on the phones at 580-5436, 580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetzoFinancial.net, if you prefer. For those of you who are still a little groggy from last night's concert, come on along with us. Wake up a little bit. Let's get rolling here. About 40,000 people, I'm told, were there last night. I'm going to go tonight. Wow. Can you imagine that? It's just hard to believe Boise. The actual impact on everything from the Snake River Stampede and all these other things out there, from a little like golf tournament or something like that, that now nobody's going to, and or crowds are way down. But what an exciting thing that 40,000 people can't wait to line up and do something that's, well, you know, I just feel like it's a little more wholesome maybe than many of the concerts and many of the concerts that I've gone to as well. So it's just neat to see. So anyway, join us at 580-5436, 580-KIDO. And again, one more time, if you have anything that you have, any comments, questions, shoot those over to our website during the week as well. We're happy to visit with you. Today, I want to talk a little bit about equity indexed annuities in the second hour, because we've got yet another show coming, I guess, that's going to be pimping equity indexed annuities. And I get call after call. I've had so many comments this week. On our website, we do have a podcast, if you will. It's separated out on equity index annuities if you want the whole 40-minute dissertation about why they won't work, why they are able to say the things that they do and actually get away with it. All of those things. But I want to touch on them again because it's just like, it's this red hot thing that won't go away. And as I say that, though, before I take a call here, I think I needed everybody to understand something. It's really fundamental and important to our discussion. I don't have anything except righteous anger. And I don't mean this from any holier-than-thou perspective. It just, I have no skin in the game. They're not competitors of ours. At all. In fact, the truth of the matter is we have no competitors. There's some good people out there that I consider comrades. I mean, really, they're just people that are in the same industry. They're good people doing a good job. And there's plenty of room for all of us. They're not competitors. And we don't want to sell these products, even though they pay enormous commissions. I've said this multiple times, and it's not always good enough information for people to understand that if we were to move, the commissions are so large, if we were to move 25% of our clients' money to this horrifyingly bad product, it would be more than $20 million payday. More than $20 million. We just won't do it. Because we want to sleep at night. It's wrong, and there isn't any other way around it. And I don't know why the regulators won't do something about it, but they won't. So we're stuck with it. So in the second hour, we'll talk a little bit about it. If you want to talk about it or have a question now, that's fine. I won't spend a whole hour on it because we've got that over on the website, the whole breakdown. But I think it deserves some comment, considering I'm asked about it multiple times just in the last week. So we'll talk about it. But right now, let's jump over to something else. Let's talk about oil. Jim, you want to talk about oil, huh?
Morning, Dave. How's it going?
Outstanding. Outstanding. Looking forward to a fabulous summer day in Boise. Just capped off with a concert tonight.
Yeah, I guess the one last night. I could have pulled a doubleheader yesterday. I could have gone to the scratch off and gotten in the Guinness Book of World Records, and then gone to the concert and gotten on a video.
Was last night part of a new video for? Garth?
Yeah. Now I can't remember the guy, but whoever the his duet. Anyway, they were both going to be there, and they were going to do a video.
Got it. Good.
Anyway.
Yeah.
You were mentioning earlier, and this has to do with oil, Disneyland, Disney.
Mm-hmm.
Well, back in 1974, I had a really interesting trip down to Disneyland. I was living in Alameda, California. I had this girlfriend, so she and I went down to Disneyland, and that was during the oil embargo. So it was kind of exciting because, I mean, we didn't know when and where we'd be able to get gas.
No doubt. Yeah.
So that was really memorable.
That would be memorable. You know, it's interesting. You know, people do forget about the gas lines and how frightening it was in different times, right? And we all survive.
You had odd and even. And I remember I even kept a diary of this because I only had like one girlfriend in my life, really. So I kept this diary after I had met her. We get up and then we need to get gas. So we go to four gas stations. Two of which are closed. One has a line around the block, and the other one, they closed, or they ran out of gas right after the car in front of us got through, you know. So anyway, I mean, we, you know, and looking back on it, I mean, it's rather whatever. At the time, I guess we were just whatever. I mean, we managed, but we just had to, you know, not think gas would be wherever we want to get it, whenever we want to get it.
No, and it's something that we just nowadays go, yeah, it's all there. It's interesting to me, too. You think about that, and obviously you and I were a good bit younger in those days. But you just adapted. You know, it wasn't the end of the world. It was just the world we grew up in. And the world is uncertain, and people just adapted, and they worked hard and figured out their way.
The thing is, you look back on things like that, and you look back on them with memorable, you know, people after the Depression. I mean, they were proud of it for one thing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, a little hardship is not bad. You just make do, and anyway. So,
sorry you only had one girlfriend in your life. I'm sorry that didn't work. I don't, you know, I'm still stuck on that in my mind. I'm just really?
Well, I'll tell you.
Girls
you
are
know,
wonderful, Jim.
Anything.
I mean,
I was 27,
yeah.
Turning 28. She was 23. But what's weird is, I just a few months ago got back into contact with her. And so it's kind of, we've been emailing back and forth all over the place. Nothing romantic, but it's kind of interesting that, 45 years goes by just like that, you know?
Yeah, it does. It really does. Well, good luck. I hope it turns romantic for you.
Well, I don't think so, you know? Probably for the both of us, you know? But
we're both
in good health, and we're both kicking and all that stuff, and, you know, it's great.
Okay.
But anyway, I mean, going down to Disneyland with a member. I've been down there a total of probably 5 or 6 times.
It was way different back then. You could actually. I remember traveling with my parents back in those days, and L.A. was fun. I mean, it was crowded, but not like you could get places, you know, and go see the tar pits and all those things.
In 1963, the high school band I was in went from New Mexico to the Coliseum and marched for a Rams-Colts game, and then we marched in a parade in Disneyland. So that was kind of cool.
Yeah, neat. Good for you. All right. Thanks for sharing the story. Appreciate it.
Take care.
You have a good day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye now. And our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. We're going to take our first break, and when we come back, we're going to talk some more. Fear, risk measured only by price movement. We'll talk about all those things today, and hopefully we'll take your calls. 580-KIDO. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. 580-5436, 580-KIDO. That is our number. You know, it's interesting to me to think back, and Jim really kind of, I'm just going to change directions here for a second, because, you know, talking about the oil embargo and what was going on in the early 70s. And we're also, of course, today celebrating an amazing achievement, really, for our country, for the world. Was, of course, going to the moon 50 years ago. Not a big deal. And people who are young don't, I think, fully appreciate, because they weren't taught history, which is unfortunate. The schools have decided that by teaching history, we teach about our past greatness. I don't know why. I don't want to go down that road. I just don't understand. I don't understand education today at all. We need more money. For what? It's just for what? To teach in the same way? I just don't get it. It's all it ever is talked about, not fixing it. But 50 years ago, we went to the moon, and it was a huge national moment coming from a huge fear. And we just forget about it. We sit around and talk about the market, and we talk about things that are about to pop and about to go wrong, and this is going to happen. I can't believe all the headlines, you know, I'm going to be sharing with you in the next hour. All about fear. World's coming to an end any moment now. When we never take time to reflect upon what the greatest generation did in World War II and post-World War II. Then the rise of communism. This is no little thing. This is no little thing at all. It's a historic footnote now. But when I grew up, we had special nuclear-tipped desks we hid under. Remember that? Remember the fallout drills we did in elementary school? That's just the world we grew up in, and we did fine. We did fine. But it wasn't as easy as today's world, by any stretch. And we look back and we look at the market and we talk about things like, you know, well, this is really, really hard for young people today. It's so hard. Really? It's so hard. When I was 19 years old, starting in this industry, prime lending rates went to 21.5. I think prime lending rates are somewhere around 3% today. If you had a job, the guy next to you didn't. It was hard. That's not a pat on the back for our generation. I'm just saying, I have no idea why people walk around with their chin on the ground. We went to the moon 50 years ago. And it changed everything, changed the whole dynamic with the Soviet Union. We were scared to death. Can you imagine looking up in the sky and you see this country who hates you, who proclaims we want to destroy you, take you over, and they have a satellite up in the air? I mean, I don't think it takes a great deal of empathy to wonder what my parents and grandparents were wondering. We can't do that. What's next? When are they coming? And now we worry about how many people follow us on social media, how many hits we get, how many likes we have. That's our trauma. But what does it have to do with finance? Everything. Everything. When we go walking around, that everything's about to go to heck in a handbasket. Everything's going to fall apart any day now. The big boom is about, we're going to lose all our money, blah, 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 blah. It just goes on. And this is just constant. And we never stop to go, I wonder how that's affecting my brain. I wonder how it affects my thinking to allow such file space in my brain of all the things that are going wrong in the world. I mean, it almost seems like the millennials have to grab on to that there's no point in saving money because the globe is warming and they're all going to be underwater and we're all going to die. Very soon, within 10 years, according to AOC, or 12 years, or whatever it is, right? No science behind it. It is. And it just goes on and on. And the schools have been teaching this. And especially if you went to higher education, you know. It's all true, nothing but the truth. The world is going to end. Why would you continue? Why would you invest? If that's your thought process, you don't. It's almost like they have to, because we all as human beings have to have some fight in it, right? We have to have some enemy out there. If it's not the Soviet Union, which it's not. Now it's going to be China. It is going to be China. But it's the climate. It's the big, giant, unknown thing out there that's been changing for 10,000 years. Where we are, anybody hearing my voice was in a glacier 10,000 years ago. I mean, huh? It's always changing. And I don't know. But the idea that we're never going to solve any of these problems, that the world isn't a good place, that the world isn't more diverse than ever before, that women, minorities, anybody has more opportunity than ever before in history, including hated white guys like me. We have more opportunity than ever. But, oh, we got to make up the doom and gloom and how harsh it is. It's so hard. It's not hard. But when we don't see the reality of it, and some people have a hard life, I get it. Last weekend, bumped into some people whose 24-year-old son died in a terrible accident. He died terribly. I can't even imagine the place they're at right now. This just happened a couple months ago. Tragedy happens. We just don't have to make it up. We don't have to make it up. Life is good. Life is grand. Life is amazing. Life is so easy compared to what it's been any time in history. And we need to celebrate the people that came before us. Celebrate that 50 years ago, JFK rallied a country to do something that was unthinkable and brought us back. In 1980, Ronald Reagan brought us back. They didn't. The country did. But somebody was leading it, right? Just like, go, go, go. We're better than this. So it's not a political statement. It's a we're pretty good. But here's why it's so important. In the 1970s, nobody wanted to invest. Because how could you? As Jim pointed out, there was an energy crisis. The Middle East was in cahoots to charge more and limit the amount of oil. So we had gas lines. We don't anymore. We're an energy exporter now, even though they told us then we would run out of oil in the world today. Just think of all the things that they tell us all the time. The experts. The world is going to die in 12 years. The world's going to die in 20 years. It's going to be 2 degrees or whatever. The seas are going to rise and all that. No, they're not. I don't know why they're not. I don't know what technology it is, but they're not. We're not all going to die. That's just not going to happen. Never does. It never does. But what gets all the press, what gets all the play, is all the negative all the time. Think of all the equity indexed annuity pimps, and I'll talk about them in the next hour. All they ever sell is fear. The product can't work. It's high commission. They don't disclose any of that stuff. None of it. None of it. I know it's a regulatory problem, and the regulators won't do anything about it. I get it. But we can. And you already know it's not true. But what do they sell? Do they sell, this will work because it works? And the world works and the world's growing? No. You don't want to be in the Wall Street casino. Bang, bang, bang. More negative news all the time. Bang, bang, bang. This is all going to end poorly, terrible, awful. Don't invest. Hide it. Buy gold. It's what we all turn to in fear. And we don't invest. And we don't. Why we expand a business? Why get an education? Why all that? It doesn't make sense if you don't think there's a future and people pull back. Why aren't millennials investing? Because they've been told everything sucks. And it doesn't. And we solve our problems. All right, we're going to come back in the next hour. I hope you'll stick around. And our number is 580-KIDO. Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thanks for joining us. And hey, I want to mention this, of course. These are my opinions and my opinions only. We're not here to tell you what to buy, or sell. And if I mention some stock, I don't know your circumstances. I don't know if you should own it or not. I might mention it favorably or unfavorably. It's just part of the education process, right? But that's not how you build a portfolio. Build a portfolio that is trying to achieve your goals. What are those goals? Buying a stock doesn't necessarily at all achieve your goal of income for life, right? That you can't outlive. Cost of living adjusted. Okay? That has nothing to do with whether you ought to own Micron or not, right? It doesn't. And yet it's really weird, this world to me of, if you will, financial reporting. Here we go. So what is your option strategy? What's the trade of the day today? You know, whatever. Buy, sell. Yeah, that's a loser. That's a winner. That's a loser. Oh, my goodness gracious. Absurd. It's, I'm just here to entertain. No. Actually, that's not entertainment. It's dumb. It doesn't help. Trying to gather a picture of whether the world is growing or not in a world of always diminishing. According to the networks, it's a finite world. It's a finite world. If you have money, you have some of my money. We can't all have money, but especially if you have more money than I do, I need to hate you. And we have to figure out how to redistribute that. But you're doing fine. Yes, they're doing fine, but you have more, which means I'm not really doing fine. It's the world we live in. No wonder. I mean, if I sat around and listened to the news, you know, CNN, MSNBC, and all the, you know, everybody's going to die networks, just unless they're doing an Obama worship hour. It's one of those weird things where if I did, I would have my own opioid crisis, you know. A beer wouldn't do it, you know. I would need some opioids.
to feel like I could get through the day. And yet this is what we just pound into people all the time. Pound it in. The world's finite. Sucks. It's terrible. It's terrible. If you don't know, if you don't know anything, you're in denial. What are you smoking? You think the world's okay? You think that economically it's okay? What's the matter with you? It's weird. Anyway, let's go to the phones. Let's listen to Wayne, shall we? Wayne, thanks for calling. Go ahead, please.
My pleasure. A couple of weeks ago, you spoke about the problems that hit the Japanese market 20-some-odd years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just wondering if what is the possibility or even probability of similar occurrence occurring in the U.S. markets?
That's a great question, Wayne, and I don't think there's really any. I'm not saying that there couldn't be a sell-off, but I don't think we're going to be in a 25-year decline the way they are. They have demographic issues. And further, I find it interesting that we were sitting around worshiping all their management style and how their government was involved in the industries, and we just thought that was the greatest thing in the world. But obviously it ended very, very poorly. As this is 25 years ago, and they have not recovered at all. They just haven't and aren't. I mean, if they get 1% growth in a year, they're celebrating, and the politicians are happy because they're probably going to get reelected. But too much government control in Japan was absolutely true. They had way too much involvement in their economy. It's great when you come from nothing to have great government involvement, because you're building roads, you're building infrastructure that's very necessary to all of industry, right? And so the government, it's like saying that the interstate highways in our country just really wasn't a very important thing. It was an incredibly important thing, and it was incredibly important for everyone. And that is not the kind of thing that is a private industry thing. I'd love to see private, you know what I mean, what do they call it, public-private partnerships to do it, like they're doing the wall and other things like that. But when we're talking about that, as a great project like that, you have to have that. It's like the military is going to be government by definition, but we do have defense contractors. Well, when you do that and you start with nothing, it works fine. There's no, if you will, red tape to get in the way. And there's not overtaxed and all those things. So you wind up in a circumstance where it works fine when a country has nothing. And after World War II, Japan had nothing. There was nothing there. It needed to be rebuilt. So it was, and it worked. And then when they got to a reasonable size, then they began to fall apart because of government overreach. And there was really no vibrant private enterprise. Sure, there's great companies like Toyota and things like that. But they were great because the government basically made them great. They weren't great because they were great on their own. Now, when you do that, you also face the consequences of the downside, and that's exactly what Japan is doing. We're not in that position now. Could we be? Of course we could. But right now, with demographics, we're growing. Japan is not. They don't do any immigration at all. Terrible racist people. And I don't mean that in any kind of negative. I'm just saying they don't want outsiders in, and that's their choice. That's right. Absolutely the choice of their sovereign nation to make that choice. Everybody has their rules. France doesn't let everybody in. Nobody does. But apparently we're supposed to. So it's a real different ball game here, but we're going to fix that at some point in time. It doesn't matter who's in office. They will have to do something about it. But nobody has open borders. But Japan has gone the other direction extensively, excessively, and nobody else comes in, so their population is actually shrinking, which is really a tough way to run an economy. So I don't think we're in that circumstance, Wayne. It is something that, and that their debt level is astronomical. Can you believe they make us look good?
No, I don't.
I know. It's hard. It's a hard thing to do. It is. But Japan really makes the United States look good debt-wise. Yeah.
Sounds as if we need to stay with the free enterprise system.
I wish we would. You know what? It has worked so well. But I only say this partly, you know, I get so excited historically about things, and I've lived long enough now that some of these historic events I remember as a child, right? I remember watching the broadcast. My parents got me out of bed to come watch this thing on our black and white TV. You know what I mean? It was a big thing that this older guy, me, now just remembers like it happened yesterday, 50 years ago. That's just amazing. But I've always felt that, but I just don't feel that from my children, and I don't feel it from other people's children, that no. they have a historic wow about our country, wow about the amazing bravery of the astronauts. And, you know, as one of them famously said, in the movie, I thought it was John Glenn, but it may not be, when they were a reporter asked him and said, you know, well, the Soviet Union has already launched a monkey up into space. And it was like, yeah. And the monkey didn't know he had a bomb strapped to his butt. You know, I think, you know, we just sometimes just kind of like, yeah, it worked out. And well, sorry, those three people or the Columbia blew up. I mean, all these things that are just, these are amazing people. And we should go, wow, the things they did and brought to us in exploring things, better science, better technology, because they had a passion. And I just don't see passion much anymore, and it's just not even talked about. Like, go find what you like to do, and you go find your passion. It's a talk. It's not what people do, and we should celebrate those few souls that have just done so much. And so I get excited about times like this, in reflecting back and realizing where we were in a world 50 years ago, and how much tougher it was, and how many things we've conquered.
Well, it's a whole other subject, but of course. Our youth are not being taught to respect our country and to respect those who have made the country so great.
Unfortunately,
nothing about it anymore. You know,
they don't, and I don't understand that. I mean, I do. If you are a globalist and you do not believe in individuals, but I don't know those people. I know they exist. I don't understand that.
I don't understand it at all.
I don't, because it's just it diminishes the human, the individual, greatly, and that's not.
And diminishes our country to such an extent.
Because we are individuals, and that's what's made our country great: is a group of individuals free to pursue their own objectives, their own passions, if you will. And some of them do, and they make great things. And then we go buy iPhones, and then complain they cost $1,000. That's our life. It's crazy. But no, Wayne, I wish that was not true. I don't know what happened to our education system, but it distresses me.
Very much so. Well, I appreciate you and appreciate all of your positive comments. So thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. You have a great weekend and happy 50th Apollo landing. Yes.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. And our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Let's go to Bob. Bob, thanks for calling. Go ahead, please.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It seems that we may have an interest rate cut coming up again.
Mm-hmm.
Vehicles that we use for saving, like for emergency funds or 1 or 2 years of expenses, the money market, that's been going down over the past months. So what's a person to look at? Are there other vehicles, or you don't worry about the change of that yield? Do you look at a Ginnie Mae fund, a high yield bond fund, or you've always talked about you got to react to what happens on the ground. So
yeah,
what does a person do? Do you do anything, or just it's just going to happen? How do you handle that? With
it is going to happen, but again, it'll of course be one of those circumstances where we're all. I think they're sitting around looking at a inverted yield curve, and I don't know why, but they seem to be fussed about it. The economic data is pretty good. I'm going to say it's not perfect, and there are concerns, but there's very few concerns compared to how good things are. So I'm not sure what they're looking at, and we'll maybe hear more next week, but does look like and sound like they're preparing us for a cut. I feel fairly certain it'll only be a quarter of a point, which will really not affect much. Now, back to your question, what do we do for short-term savings? There's not much you can do. But I never thought I would brag about 2%, you know, but you can line up around the block if somebody's giving you 2% now. But you can. U.S. government short-term notes, adjustable notes, are around 2%. Money markets are just below 2%. So, again, I think there's some things you can do. It's just that if you go to the local bank, they're not going to pay you. And they don't. They don't have to. Because they have way too much money. They can't lend enough and make up the margin. So why pay 2% if they're going to sit it in their vault and they're not making 2? So it is a weird circumstance, a weird interest rate world. I wish they wouldn't cut rates, because there's no reason to, in my mind. If the economy was weakening, I would rather have that, you know, as you think about it, that ammunition left, right, for if and when something happens, because something will happen someday. But right now it's not. And so I wish they wouldn't. But the answer is money markets, short term, U.S. Government adjustable. You can do that in the exchange traded fund easily. So those things are available and highly liquid. And of course, they're risk free. So we wind up in a circumstance where you can only get just under 2% risk free. If you go out more, I am concerned right now when we talk about high yield bonds and things like that. I don't think you're paid to take on the credit risk. It's just not the right time in the cycle. You'll get more and you probably will do fine. But I just feel like there's a little bit of downside there that if we do have some credit concerns, we do have an economic hard landing, then some companies will go out. But floating rate notes are priced to a better, in my mind, than high yield bonds. So I would look there if you're trying to stretch for a little bit of yield. Other than that, my favorite, you know, is not to sit out and say you've got to have X amount or X percent sitting there in bonds. You don't need that. We don't need that. If we can find yield other places, and I think you can, and they're called U.S., United States, great corporations of the world that pay dividends, rising stream of dividends, and many of them are paying 3% still today. 3%. So do you want 3 and growing, or do you want 0 or a quarter of a point or whatever you're getting at 0.1 at the bank and not growing? I want the growth. And I think that's going to continue to be my story, is that these companies, as long as the world is growing, they will. If I'm going to fixate on price as the risk level, then instead of the fact that they're drawing income and rising streams of income, if I'm only going to fixate on price, then the bad guys win. That's kind of my mindset. The bad guys meaning my own fear, my own stupidity, my misunderstanding, however you want to phrase it, that I don't understand that price only matters when you buy and when you sell. It doesn't matter in between. What matters in between is the income. Do I think that Johnson & Johnson is going to deliver the dividend next quarter? I do. Have I done my homework to say that Johnson & Johnson has ample cash flow, they're not paying all their earnings out in the form of dividend, they're not borrowing money, all those things? The answer is yes, I do. And so if that's the case, then I'm not worried about whether Johnson & Johnson falls 5 or 10% in price. That is for the fearmongers, and I'm not going to let them in my head.
So more or less of a dividend fund, as compared to looking for increasing yields in some type of other Ginnie Mae fund or some other bond fund, is that what you're making comments on?
It's exactly right. I want something that has its own internal. It doesn't rely on a bunch of Fed governors to decide whether it's going to raise its yield or not. I want a corporation to go out and become more productive, make more money selling iPhones, and raise the dividend they pay. I mean, people don't even realize that Apple's becoming a great dividend story, a great income story. All we do is we sit around and, how are iPhone sales this quarter, that quarter? What's the Christmas season look like? I don't think they're very innovative. Blah, 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 blah. It's all negative all the time as the stock has gone from basically $2 a share to 100 or 200, excuse me. And so we get caught in the wrong thing. If you keep thinking about cash flow and how it's going, Apple looks phenomenal. And I'm not trying to sell you on Apple. Don't go buy Apple because I said so. But you look at it as an income story instead of sitting around watching the TV blare at you that Apple has no chance anymore. They're just not selling enough iPhones anymore. Crazy. And then they raise the dividend. It's a great income story. Again, I'm not saying buy Apple, but there's many, many stories like Apple. I'd rather focus on the individual companies that can control, to a degree, their own destiny. Not relying on Fed governors to say, yeah, we'll go ahead and give all these people that are in their bank accounts a quarter of a point more.
Okay.
All
righty.
Bob,
appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much. Have a good day now.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
And, hey, if you'll hang on, Mike, we are going to come back to you after a quick commercial break here. And our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Real quickly here. If you tried to ring in earlier, we had so many people at one time that we weren't able to get you all on. So we do have a couple lines available. Now's your chance. 580
KIDO.
Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. 580-5436-580-KIDO. That is our number. Feel free to give us a call. If you prefer email, it's dave@petsofinancial.net. Let's go to Mike. Mike, thank you for waiting. Go ahead, please.
Oh, hi, Dave. How are you? Good morning.
I'm well, thank you.
Yeah, I've been a little under the weather since Thursday morning, but hey, you know what? My mom and dad and I and my brother Mark, who Cuna. Anyways, we were at our Aunt Sissa's in Anaheim, California at the time, and we watched the Apollo landing and everything. That was so neat.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You know what? I would be 11 that next August, following August.
Well, you got me by a couple of years,
that's a good memory thing.
It's a great memory thing, you know.
It's
something else. It really is, and our country was proud of itself in those days, not ashamed of everything we did or perceived to do. Yeah.
Oh, you know what? John Kennedy, you know, who wouldn't be a Democrat today? I don't think. You know what? He helped boost all that. And I bet he would be a Republican today, you know, and you know, I'm getting a little political, but anyways, the year before that, in 68, you know, we lived in Garden Grove and Anaheim in that area, you know, back then. And we were going to my grand folks, my dad's mom in Redondo Beach, and Robert Kennedy's entourage was getting off the freeway while we were going on the freeway. And that was like, I think, three limos. and then, you know, that Sunday late morning or early Monday morning, he spoke at the Strawberry Festival and riots broke out and everything. And then that early Monday morning, I do believe it was, before we went back to school, he was shot by Sirhan Sirhan.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, that was like big news then too. Boy.
Certainly. Certainly was.
Yeah.
Certainly was.
That was like amazing times, you know, in our area. You know, we let some people pop our block wall and you know, escape some of the rioting. And, you know, Dad allowed that.
Mm.
You know, if they didn't look Dad used to whistle at people with long hair back then. And oops, sorry.
That's cute.
Dad used to go around the country in 65 and speak out against communism back then with a Dr. Billy James Hargis and a guy who fled Cuba. And, you know, so we had some exciting times in our life back then.
No doubt. No doubt. There's another famous guy traveling around the country at that time speaking against communism. Ronald Reagan.
Yeah.
He was doing it for GE Theater. That's where he developed his stump speeches and if you will, embedded his own philosophy even more deeply. He really became quite a speaker on circuit fighting communism was a 40-year war for him. 40 years of it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, at the time when Dad was speaking out against communism throughout the country, places in Ohio wouldn't even allow him to speak, and so he had to fly up to Canada. They had to fly up to Canada and broadcast back down.
Mm.
That's how liberal they were even back then.
Yeah, yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, shoot.
All right.
Well, hey, good. You all take care. Love you all. Thank you.
Thank you, Mike. I appreciate it. You have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Happy Apollo landing. All right. Let's go ahead and take a quick break here for Fox News at the bottom of the hour. And we do have our board cleared at 580-5436. 580-KIDO. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. 580-5436. 580-KIDO. And happy Apollo landing weekend 50 years ago. 50 years ago, we leapfrogged the Soviet Union, our great enemy of the day. Great enemy. Just people don't understand because nobody understands history. They don't teach it anymore unless you were there and knew it and you can draw yourself back to it. It's not just a footnote of a problem solved. It's yet another one.
just like World War II. It's not a footnote. It's a lesson. A lesson in overcoming adversity. Great adversity. Pushing forward, and that it works. Things work. When we talk about the news today, all the news, we brush over it like it's not this humongous problem we have. I talked about this a couple weeks ago. How buying back stock threatens stocks, the stock market, is absurd. But that's the kind of the twist we make on it, because a headline that says buybacks continue is just apparently not a good enough headline. And that's the Wall Street Journal, which is not exactly a negative newspaper. If you're watching CNN or MSNBC, anything anti-Donald Trump, which is all media, pretty much, you can't have any clarity of what the economy's doing, what the globe's doing, how we're solving problems every single day. The world is not finite. It's infinite. The opportunities abound everywhere for everyone. We're becoming a greater democracy, not lesser. Every day. Every single day. But all news all the time is always negative, and it wears us out. And when we're talking about this, it's not just a thing. It's not like my thing. Maybe it is my thing. I wish it was everybody's thing that we fully embraced and understood. You've got to turn that stupid thing off. It infects your brain. It affects our attitude. It affects our lives. It's not okay. It's not just a thing. You're not going to put your kids down in front of horror movies and expect them to sleep well through the night. You don't put human beings in front of the news about how everything's going to end. It's all terrible all of the time, and expect them to invest. Expect them to expand their business. Expect them to be thinking positively. Get an education. Press forward. Try another thing. Go a different angle. Have grit. What's the point, says Eeyore? What's the point? The world's going to end in 12 years anyway. Oh, my. And this is, and we think that this doesn't affect us. It infects us. You can't believe, I mean, the statistics, it doesn't matter what you do, the last 10 years, the last 20 years, the last bear market to bull market, the last bull to bear, it doesn't matter, it makes no difference at all. Individual investors are horrible. Here's the truth. If you put money in the stock market at any point of your life, it's up 10% a year, any reasonably long period of time, it's up 10%. For your grandparents' lives, 10. For your parents' lives, it went up 10. For your life, it's 10. It's ridiculous. It's like a gravitational pull to the equator. 10. But the average investor in stocks doesn't get anywhere near 10 because we're so smart. We plug into the news and we know, this is, you know, the big bomb is about to happen. The big drop is about to happen. I better not get in at 12,000 or at 15 or at 20 or at 27. Well, I'm sure not going to get in now. Of course you're not. You're smarter than the market. You're so smart. You're so smart. You're so smart. You stayed out. That's how smart you are. You're so smart. We just don't get it because we get plugged in, we get wired in, we start reading all the negative naysayers, which are abound everywhere. How do you think anybody ever sells an equity index annuity, which is one of the worst bags, sacks of you-know-what that there's ever been created? Super high commissions, all sold with fear. All sold with fear. I mean, they're just absolutely, the people that sell them, they just ooze, ooh. They're just awful. This is like the worst things in the world. And they know it. And they pay 10, 12% commissions. They're huge. Rip people off. Terrible. Guess I didn't really hold myself back there, did I? They're terrible. Who in their right mind would buy one of these crappy things if they had any faith in the future? If they understood, in spite of the Soviet Union getting a jump on us, we win. Freedom wins. Capitalism wins. In spite of the great world wars, with millions of people dying, billions of dollars of destruction, back when a billion was a serious amount of money. Capitalism wins. Free markets win. And the market went up 10%. But you're smart. You're so smart. And you're so smart that what we're going to do is we're going to listen in and dial in. And we really want to hear some more really good news from the equity annuity index pimps. Telling us how, oh, you can do this, you can do this. And you know what? The lines have been open for 35 years here. Anybody that wants to try to sell us on that product, I've always said this, the lines are open. The lines are open. You can tell me why this product works. We can have a reasonable, because I've got all the data here. We've got all the real projections, what really happens when markets go up, and then you cap those returns. So you can't win. We've got all that, but nobody ever calls. But we put on a nice little sales pitch for an hour or two and pitch it. 10%, 12% commissions. Oh, don't worry. You know what lying is? Lying is also by omission. The insurance companies pay me. Don't you? Don't. Really. There's just a magic pot of gold sitting out there, and they just like magic fairy dust just go, oh, here, we'll take care of you. But that really doesn't come out of the product you just bought and you're trapped into for the next 10, 15. I've seen them that they never let you out unless you annuitize, which is another way of taking your money. All of this is sold on fear because nobody, would do this, even with all of the lies that are told them. It's all guaranteed. You get to participate in the market upside and no risk on the downside. You don't pay me. You don't pay it for any of this. The insurance company does. They do. Not this. Fear destroys us. It destroys our perspective of where we are, where the world is, how corporations are, destroys us. I hear it every day, all the time. When's the big drop coming? What big drop? I've heard this forever. Forever. What big drop? You mean where it all goes away, you mean? Like 08? But it didn't actually go away. Now, if you were levered in real estate, it went away because of the leverage. But you see, Microsoft, Google, you know, all the other, they didn't go away. Their price went down. Interestingly, also, their incomes went up, but their price went down temporarily. It didn't go away. Do we mean away like in World War II? Do we mean it went away in like the Cuban Missile Crisis? Do we mean it went away when Sputnik went overhead? Is that the away you mean? In 73 and 4 in the oil crisis, that away gone like in, or to temporary price decrease? It doesn't go away. It doesn't go away. Only you can decide, I want to leave in a perfectly normal market correction, certain to occur over and over again all the days of my life, market correction. And I want to sell out at a low price. That's what I want to do and lock in a loss. The only way you can lose is in all of history, is that you make a choice. I want to lose. I'm going to wait for a drop and then I want to sell then and lose. That's what I want. Only we can make that choice. But every day we get pounded with this. And it's pounded by the news every single day. When's the big drop coming? When's this? When's that? Well, I think this. What could cause it? What are the signs of the next thingy? Over here, Morgan Stanley says we're going down. Wells Fargo says this. Goldman Sachs says that every day. Do you think they say the market's going to the moon? No, that doesn't make headline news. Wild-eyed optimist Pollyannas like me, they just don't make the news. They don't. 10 a year, unless you mess it up. Is that your call? Is that the world? It's your choice. It's always been your choice. That's what our history lesson is today. That's our choice. It's our choice to be driven by fear into hopelessly bad products. Hopelessly high commission. It's your choice. It's your choice to go to the free dinner. You know it's not free. You're going to get a pitch. You know it. You're going to get a high-pressure pitch. I learned my lesson when I was 20 years old on the Las Vegas Strip. I guess it was 21. When I thought it was a good idea to find out about those things called timeshares. I couldn't get out of the room. It was hard to get out of the room. They finally gave up, realized we didn't have any money. So we got our free whatever show tickets and finally got out. Didn't feel free. I felt abused. I felt dirty. I felt like I needed a shower. For a free steak? You're not getting information and you know it. You're getting a pitch. A one-sided pitch. Just know, it's a super high commission product, and it won't work. And you'll get to go in and have dinner and get to hear all kinds of why the world is terrible and how you just don't want to play in that Wall Street casino. Our number is 580-5436-580-KIDO. We got to take our final break, and we'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. Let's go ahead and jump on the phones here real quick, and we'll have plenty of time for both of these calls. Pro-Life, go ahead, please.
Yes, you were talking about annuities, and you hear these guys advertising, and they say, well, you get gains, but mm-hmm. you don't get losses.
Right.
So I'm assuming what they do, those insurance companies, they as there's an advance in the price of stocks which they've invested in, they are always two percentage points above you, and so that's their profit, their income. So they will go up so much, and maybe they have some kind of a lid on it. They're not going to let you have too much, but you get some kind of a gain. And then for all of that money that they're making, they ensure that you're not going to get some kind of a loss. Am I essentially understanding it right?
Not quite. They're going to lock in their profit margin, so they're not taking any risk at all, okay? So let's understand why it works that way. Now, first of all, what they have to do is they have to make up the cost of marketing, which, of course, is huge. So yeah. If I'm going to pay, let's just round it off and call it a 10% commission to the shark. Okay, I'm going to try to be nice here. The shark. So the shark gets 10 because there are no products in the world that you get 10 on. You don't even for a house get 10, right? You know what I mean? Something that it's hard to sell. It's 10, which is beyond excessive, but it is 10. So the shark gets 10, and then on top of that, the shark has marketing people above them, right? Regional person, national salesperson, whatever. They're getting one or two of the whole thing too. Then on top of that, you have all those pretty brochures, advertising, the radio shows that they run. All of those are done by organizations that take a cut as well, right? So let's just say overall, all in, we're in 12 to 14% cost, okay? That has to be figured out how we're going to get that back, usually over a 10 to 15-year period of overcharging for what
the company. Now we also want profits for the insurance company. Let's call it a couple percent. It's not really that. They're going to set a number to it that they want to make profits on, and they're going to guarantee it. How do they guarantee it? They go out in the market and they buy derivatives. Derivatives are either puts or they go short in the futures market. And what that simply says is if the market goes down, the person on the other side of the trade has to pay, whether that's Goldman Sachs, it's another banker, it's just the market. Everybody has a buy and an opposing sell in the futures market at any time. Anytime I go buy a put, somebody has sold that to me, okay?
Right.
So that's what they're doing. They simply are hedging all the risk away. That has cost. Guess who pays for that? They don't pay for it. They don't pay for it out of profits. They don't pay for it out of the 12% marketing cost. They don't pay for it. The client does. And the client does by having the dividends taken from their S&P portfolio. So instead of getting 2% a year, if the market is flat, they get zero. So there's no dividends on their index, number one. Number two, some of them have an expressed charge built in. For example, you will get the market participation minus 5% per year. We've seen this contract, okay, with a cap of 8. What does that say? If the market goes up 20%, you get 3. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
They cap it at 8, minus 5 on the charges. Where does it come from? By capping it. So, and we can go into it. And if you want, anybody who's listening wants to go into it in more detail, that's on our website. We have a 40-minute dissertation there. You can go there, listen to it. I know for most people, it's like, are you kidding me? And we break it out, okay? So very quickly, they're hedging it in the market. They cap your upside. They take that money, and that's what they're able to. And they're trapped in the contract for those 10 years so that they can recover all of the cost, that 5% a year or 3, or they just have a lower cap. Either way, it's the same thing. They're going to take it back from you, and you can't win. Market goes up 20, you get 3. Yippee-ki-yay, but you won't lose. Thanks, Pro Life. Thanks, everybody. Got to go.